Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
I want to take us back to the Psalms, and I want us to go to Psalm number 1. But before we have a look at that, I just would like to make a couple of opening statements. And that firstly, what I found really helpful in my life is to look at the entire full counsel of God's Word through specific lenses and specific truths that we see through the Word of God. And so the first lens that I always look at the Word of God at is that God is sovereign. God is above everything. So God in His majesty and His magnificence is beyond our understanding. And so everything that God does and says and all of creation is a subject to His authority and to His rule. The second lens that I look at the Word of God through, is who He is. And when I talk about who He is, I'm talking about His nature. The fact that He is kind, the fact that He's compassionate, the fact that He's gracious, the fact that He's patient, and the fact that He is loving. And so I look, take these two, that we have this magnificent, incredible God who's made Himself known to us, but He's made Himself known to us through the amazing patience and kindness that He's shown and the love that He's shown towards us. The third lens that I always look at is that God is everlasting and that He has an everlasting love for us. That means that we're secure. There's the security that we have that no matter what life throws at us, that He loves us. And that's an anchor. That's a deep anchor of truth in our lives. And so God has created a universe, and all creation operates really on two sets of laws. So one is we have basically what we call physical laws, with our both macro and micro. And so it's from the greatest, biggest, most furthest away planet to the smallest particle of an atom. The very electrons that revolve around the atom are under His authority and under His rule. And God has designed everything to work in a perfect order and according to His sovereign will. And so there's nothing outside of what God has actually ordained. God is absolutely in control all the time. And He's sovereign. The second one is that what we call biblical or spiritual laws. And just as sure as gravity works, the reality that the spiritual laws work as well. All right, and you cannot deny them. So they are as effective as gravity. And if we look at God's Word, we basically see that He gives us really two elements within His Word. One is to guard us and to warn us against things that are not for our good. And the second one is to encourage us and to command us and lead us into places that are good for us. And so there's this adherence that He's calling us to, which we call obedience. So as gracious and as magnificent and kind as God is we still called to live a life of obedience. And so there's this cause and effect, both in the natural and the supernatural world. And so the reality is that all of these things are under God's sovereign decree, and all things are subject to His sovereign will. And all things will be judged according to His sovereign righteousness, which we read in His Word. And that's the lens that I look at when I begin to look at the Scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to teach me. And I'm sharing this with you because this is what's been a great benefit to me. It's been a great, great benefit to me as I've looked at the Word of God and allowed the Holy Spirit to teach me. But I've looked at those fundamental, through those lenses, those fundamental truths. So I want to take us to Psalm number 1. And I'm going to actually read Jeremiah 17, 5 to 10. And the reason why I want to do that, because it's almost like a parallel scripture. And I want to just say that we see in Psalm number 1, there's two very clear illustrations. We see an illustration of both the godly and the ungodly. We see two very separate paths that these two people that are described in the scriptures. And we see two very totally different outcomes. And so I want to read for us quickly this particular portion of scripture, and then we're going to get into Psalm number 1. But look for those three things. Are they godly, ungodly? Which category do they fall into? What are their paths? And then what is their outcome? So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on the flesh of his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes, and he will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. That's a harsh description. It then goes on to say, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Look at the comparison. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends its roots out into the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, and reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve, because he is a holy and righteous God. I now want to take us to the parallel scripture of which we're going to teach out of this, and I want to take us to Psalm number 1. Look at the similarities. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Slightly different view. It's like taking a matchbox and looking at it from one view and then flipping it over and looking at it from the other side. Exactly the same thing. Slightly different how you would describe it. So if you looked at a matchbox from an elevation view and you looked at it from a side view, you would have a slightly different description, but the same thing. And so we see a picture of two different paths in life. So I want to start by having a look at the condition of the God-honoring person. And I'm going to start actually in verse 1. It says, blessed is the one. The thing that amazes me, although God loves the nations, and he does love the nations, he's interested in the person, in the individual. And God always picks and chooses and works in the individual's heart. When you want to see a nation that's blessed, it's because God has been working through the heart of individuals. And so there's a massive impact to this. And so God is very, very specific, that he's person-specific, that he works in the hearts and the minds of individual people. And throughout history, we can see this. We can see it from all those that God has called and that we see recorded in the Bible. He calls men and women to himself. And so it's an individual interaction that God has with those that he's created and those that he loves. We see that when we look at this word blessed, it's, if we want to begin to understand what it means, is we have to begin to have a look and see where else this specific blessed word was actually used. And then you need to go basically and look in the Greek and the Hebrew, etc., etc. But really to be blessed means to be, it refers to being full of joy and contentment in God. And it's basically those that are redeemed and saved. There's this blessedness that we have by those that have been called and set apart. And so we live under this amazing favor of God, which we call the blessing of God. And so if we have a look further in the Psalms where this specific word actually pops up, we see it in Psalm 32, verse 1, and it says, Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not hold against him. For us, for those that the Lord does not hold their sin against him, we are blessed if we are those. That we are blessed when God does not hold our transgressions against us. Blessed are those who regard the weak, for God delivers them in time of trouble. So we have a regard for the weak, but because God loves the weak and the poor, he delivers us when we get into trouble. It's an amazing promise that God has for us. Blessed are those who you choose, O Lord, to bring near to live in your courts, for we are filled with good things in your house, and in your holy temple. And we read that in Psalm 65, verse 4. So God, part of the blessing that we receive, that we're reading about here, is the blessed is the one whose God has called to himself, the one that we live in God's presence. We get to enjoy the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's wonderful. That's the blessedness that the word is actually talking about. And it's very interesting to see when we go to the New Testament, that's the same blessed that Jesus used when he began to talk about the Beatitudes. Very interesting, eh? That he switches from the Greek to the Hebrew, from the Hebrew to the Greek, and then you begin to see, blessed is the meek. Blessed is the poor in spirit. And it's the same blessed that Jesus uses that we actually see in Psalm 1. So why are we blessed? Apart from that, it's God's desire to bless us. But in this particular scripture, the reason why this particular individual or individuals are blessed is because their delight is in the law. You see, the law would have no impact on us if it wasn't for the sake of the one who gives. And that's the reality. I mean, we spoke a little bit this morning about the authority. If you have no authority, your words have absolutely no impact. But we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, of which outside of God there's no authority that's higher. And if he says, you are blessed, you are blessed. And why? Because our delight is in what he says. And so we have to look and see what he says. So it starts with our delight is more in who he is. And because our delight is who he is, our delight is in what he said to us. If we get it the other way around, we begin to try and live a life of following rules and regulations. And that's not what we're called to. We're called to the great commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul and strength. And so our delight is in him, and because our delight is in him, our delight is in his word. So this person who delights in the law of the Lord recognizes that God's word is more than just rules and regulations, but actually it's God's love for us. Imagine if we did not have God's word. Where would we be? Where would we be? Where would we get our counsel? What would we measure up the voices in our, you know, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us? Because the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and it's 100% in line with what the Word of God says. You will never get a contradiction. How would we know if we did not have the Word of God? And so the Word of God is God's great love letter to us. There's a recognition that God's word is for our good, not for his. It is true that he's called us because he's chosen to love us. And part of his sovereign plan is to have a people for himself all eternity because he delights in us. But his word to us is for our good. It's a person who delights in the law of the Lord because he recognizes that God's word has an effect far beyond that we can understand or grasp. Generations get impacted by men and women who love the Lord and walk in the way of the Lord. When we talk about being blessed, it's not just about us in the few years that we live on this planet. It impacts generations. When God spoke to Abraham and said, leave your father's house and go to the land that I will show you, because he was obedient, the Bible tells us that God has made him, that his descendants will be outnumber the stars, and that he's called to be a blessing to all nations. I don't think he understood that, to be honest, at that time, because it's beyond our understanding. But when we walk in the ways of God and we respond to God, God uses us. But he's establishing our kingdom that has an internal impact. And you don't know what the impact is going to be if God calls you to to go and share the gospel with someone. And they turn. And they turn and they give their life to the Lord. You don't know what their outcome and what God has got planned for them. Every single one of us, every single one of us, in reality, are here, firstly because we've been drawn by the Spirit of God, but because somewhere, somebody along the line has been faithful and listened to the Word of God. It's a person who recognizes that God's Word is there for protection, and God's Word is there for provision, and for direction and instruction. We will look at the converse just now, but how do you know how to make the right decisions in life when all we have is our senses and our own human understanding? It's only God that knows the beginning from the end. So if we need wisdom, let's go to Him. Let's look what He says in His Word and then listen to the Holy Spirit. They will never contradict each other. It's a man who delights in the law of the Lord and knows that in God's Word there's also timing. It's not only direction, but there's also timing. So we have to allow, when we're going to have a look just now, there are seasons that we will walk in and walk through. And we need to understand that God's Word will never return void and that it's always true. But there's a season and there's a timing. And the key thing for us is we have to be patient. The Bible tells us, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. God is never late. And He recognizes that God's Word is of highest value and totally inseparable from God Himself. You cannot have God without His Word. And you can't have the Word and understand the Word without God. They're the one and the same. And recognizes that the Word of God is life. It's a blessed thing to be under both His hand and His wing. It's a blessed thing to be under God's protection, under His wing, but also under His hand, where he sovereignly blesses and brings fruitfulness. And so the delight is actually in God first, and then in His Word. Right, what does it mean to be planted? Well, let's have a look at this tree. So the amazing thing, by the way, is they use this description, and I think in the previous one they spoke about a tree and a shrub, right? A bush in Jeremiah, okay? So what's the significance of a tree? Well, actually, in this context, the country is a very dry and arid place. And so to be a tree in that context is to be something really special and is to be blessed. But the amazing thing is that trees can establish themselves from seed, but they go where the wind takes them. To be planted and rooted, you cannot do that yourself. No tree has uprooted itself. To be uprooted and planted means there needs to be an intervention. And to be uprooted and planted, only God can actually do that. And that's what He does when we get saved. We get taken out of the kingdom of darkness and we get planted in the kingdom of light. And so God uproots us from where we were and on the path we were on, and He puts us into His kingdom and He gives us a whole new future. So the same with mankind. That's what God does. And it's God who by grace transplants us into His family and into His kingdom. And note where He plants us. Streams of living water. In the desert, but next to streams of living water. And that living water is an ongoing source of life. It's ever increasing. It's always perfecting. Never ends. And it continues all into eternity. So God is the one who does it. And that's why we always give Him all the praise and all the honor. It's because He has taken us and He's rescued us. And He's given us a new hope and a new future. So we're still in Psalm 1 verse 3, eh? And we've got another three to get through, so I'm going to try and work through it a bit quicker. So the next thing, quite interesting, if we have a look at this, we see that there's fruitfulness. So the first thing is, it says that, if we have a look, it yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. There's longevity in this thing. You know, the reality is that when we serve God, It's not a seasonal thing. We might walk through seasons in our life, but it's forever. When we are born again, it means that we are a new creation. We never become an un-new creation. When God has got us, the Bible tells us that He is faithful to keep us. And we will spend eternity with Him. And so there's longevity in this. That means you can bank on it. When you know what the outcome is going to be, you can bank on it. And so there's the season in and out. There's a sustaining when things get tough. So even when it's tough, we can still be in a place of joy because we understand that we're in God's sovereign will and that He will never, ever allow us to go through things that we're not capable to. In Him. Not in our own self, but in Him. God will never expose us to things that He's not able to carry us through. And so there's a measure, by the way, of fruitfulness as well. So firstly, there's an ongoing, there's a season. The second thing is there's a measure. Can I tell you that that measure is unpredictable? Unpredictable. It's predictable in that there's still this principle of sowing and reaping. You have to sow if you want to reap. You have to sow if you want to reap. So that's the predictable part. The unpredictable part is who determines the harvest? He does. The reality is what God has for us is way bigger than you can ever imagine. If you are born again, you are called by His name. That means He has a new plan and purpose for you, which is way bigger than you could ever hope or imagine. Way bigger. Way bigger. So He determines the measure. And it extends beyond ourselves. The beautiful thing of this is that there's an overflow from ourselves that goes through those that we know, through those that we love, all the way to the nations. It goes through our work, it goes through where we fellowship together, and it goes through to the nations. And it includes the lost. One of the things for us to realize, and this is sometimes quite tough, and I just want to talk about seasons for a second. When we come to Christ, we don't come to utopia. That's never what He promised us. He never promised us this, but He promised never to leave us. And so we need to understand, and everybody wants to live in a summer, but you cannot have a summer without a winter, and you cannot have a spring without an autumn. And sometimes when it gets tough, and guys that I know that are close to me and know that I've walked through some very tough seasons in my life. And we all have. But the reality is this. Is the question is not God, why is this happening to me? But God, what are You doing? Because if He's sovereign and He's loving, which He is, what is He doing in your life and in your heart and building into you, preparing you for the things that He's calling you to? So God's calling will always be tested. And we're all called, by the way. And there's a cost to following Christ. And the Bible talks about pruning. And if you could speak rosebush, they scream when you cut them. But there's a pruning because God wants to remove some of the things from our lives that are not helpful. Because what is He doing? He's preparing us for more fruitfulness. That's how it works. And then I want to just talk about the eternal security. And so God watches actively, intimately over us. And He watches over the way of the righteous. And He prepares our way. And we are righteous because God calls us righteous. And because what He's done for us. And we're in right standing because we are washed by the blood of Christ. And our grace of our salvation is decreed in heaven. And we have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which is our guarantee. And we are to be received as His own when we stand before Him one day. And He is our great, great reward. He is our great reward. I want to look at the contrast. So what I've done now is I've actually gone through and I've actually put this into three categories. And remember, this is the person who... And remember we looked at Jeremiah. And so basically I want to just start in the person who. And I want to have a look. You can see that I've numbered it 1, 2, and 3. So there's a progression here that's a reality. And the question is the reason why it's given to us is because this is God showing us that when we turn away from Him, this is what can happen. That this has got nothing to do with our salvation. But there's the reality of what happens. So firstly, there's walking, standing, and sitting. So there's a progression in this. So think about this. So I'm walking along in life, and all of a sudden, I get tempted. Now I'm walking. Now there's a moment that temptation comes. I have the opportunity now to do one of two things. One is submit myself to God and continue to walk through. Or I have the opportunity to stop. What happens? At the moment I stop, I begin to stand. So now I'm looking at this thing. And because we still have the flesh, this thing becomes more enticing to me. That's the reality. If I stay with this in this thing long enough and I stand there long enough, the next thing I can tell you what's going to happen, I'm going to start sitting. So when temptation comes, in that moment, that's the time to make the choice. Not to stand back and look at it and stare at it and begin to half enjoy it and then say, okay, what do I do now, God? In that moment when temptation comes, submit yourself to the Lord and walk through. The second point I want to talk about is that you see you're walking, standing, sitting in what? So here we have counsel. So we see the counsel, we see a way, and we see basically the seat. So what is counsel? Counsel is where do we get our advice from? When the people that are speaking into our lives, what is speaking into our lives? Who is speaking into our lives? That thing is absolutely critical for us. And so if we are getting input from the ungodly, what kind of input are we getting? Where are we getting our counsel? This is the only true counsel that we truly have. But we can also trust in those that are righteous and those that serve the Lord. And so we see that there's the counsel. So what do? Is you get advice. You take that advice. Now all of a sudden this becomes your way. Yes? You take the counsel, you put it into action. What does it do? It becomes your way. It becomes your way long enough, you start to sit in it. Becomes your seat. Now this is your position. So now we've gone from advice to being your way to this is now your position in life. And then I want to look at the third progression. The wicked, sinners and scoffers. You see, the wicked is really anything that counteracts God's word. To be wicked, anything that breaks God's sovereign decree. That's to be wicked. And you only need to do it once, in reality. But when you do it consistently, it becomes sin. It becomes a pattern of sin. And when that pattern of sin continues, it progresses to the place that you become outright rebellious and total defiance against God. And then you start saying, well, who's this God? Where's this God? And so there's this progression that we actually see in Psalm 1. The opposite to that, by the way, is you could begin to reverse it and say, blessed is the person who walks in the counsel of the righteous, if you want to flip the coin. Blessed is the person who stands in the way of those that have been sanctified, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Blessed is the person who sits in the seat of those who revere and honor God. So there are dire consequences to this. And I want to just actually go through it quickly. So the person who, in this particular text, who walks and stands and sits in the council, the way, the seat of the wicked, the sinners and the scoffers, it's interesting to see what they described as. They described as chaff. Now, what is chaff? It's very interesting to see that chaff and wheat come from the same stalk. They come from the same stalk. They've been in the same soil. They've received the same rain. But there's a very, very different outcome for them. So chaff is really that which is loosened on the threshing floor. And it's quite interesting to see when they separate the chaff from the wheat at harvest, There's actually no value in the chaff at all. You cannot even collect it to burn it as firewood. It's got absolutely, has no value. Chaff has no value. You can't even burn it. You can't collect it. You throw it up in the air and the wind blows it away. Doesn't even know where it's going to land. It's absolutely at nature's mercy. So I want to just recap a little bit. So chaff, absolutely useless. Good for nothing. No value whatsoever. Yet it comes from the ground and the same. It's all the same circumstances in life that the wheat did. And the reality of what this means is when judgment day comes, the full punishment and the wrath of God for all eternity. That's the reality of chaff. So there are really two in summary. So you can see two hands. You see two products from the same stalk. We see two very clear realities in life, based on two very clear choices, resulting in two very clear life journeys, ending in two very final eternal outcomes, wheat and chaff. In the wheat, we find life. In the wheat kernel, we find fruitfulness, and we find reproduction, longevity, through generations, generations to generations. And as for the chaff, basically it degrades away, just degrades away, gets blown away, lands where the wind takes it, exposed to the elements, till eventually just degrades away. And so the Word of God is absolutely eternal and totally authoritative, and it is the standard by which all mankind and all things will be judged. And it's true we are no longer under the law, because the law has been fulfilled by Christ, and we are in Christ. But there's still a principle for those who believe on sowing and reaping, and it's called obedience. Therefore, we will do well to take God's Word seriously. So we have both law, which applies, and it applies to those that are not saved, because everybody will be judged one day. And we have God's grace. But the Bible also talks about hearers of God's Word and doers of God's Word. So let's take God's Word seriously. Let's take God's Word seriously. And God will take us on the most exciting journey we can ever imagine, full of peace, full of joy, and full of fruitfulness.